It is indeed a privilege for me to be here this evening, and it is a pleasure to see you here. We want to deal tonight with a subject that is often misunderstood. It has given rise to denominations. It has caused people to be confused to the point of ascribing to these or prescribing to these denominational doctrines, and that is the question of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. For our text, I've chosen John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. If you will turn there in your Bibles, we will read this, we will talk about this, we will use this to see that Jesus Christ was talking about a concept that is principal to being a child of God. He said in John 15, beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Throughout the years since the establishment of the church, there have been many who have sought to be disciples of the Lord. There have been many who have decided that they wanted to follow the Lord, but have done so under false pretenses. They have done so under misconceptions that have been provided them for other people. Jesus here in this particular passage lays the foundation for what we ought to understand, that he is the source. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He later says, now in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We do not have to look far to understand what Jesus is saying here, when it's not just the words that he spoke out of his mouth while he was here in a physical body, but that which he also caused to be sent so that we might have it. That which he sent through the Holy Spirit to those who were to receive it, to record it so that we might have it. But in this particular passage, Jesus used the familiar grape vine as an illustration to the close fellowship that must exist between him and his disciples. On a tree in my front yard, I have a pesky vine growing out of the ground or from near the base of the tree that has reached proportions that they should not reach. The reason is because it is poison oak. And I tried one day, for some strange reason, to break off a few of those limbs, not thinking about what they were, and got this awful rash on my hand. So what I did was get my cutters, and I cut out a section of about a foot long and separated those vines from the root that went into the ground. Unbeknownst to me, this year when everything started turning green, so did the vine, because it has other source of nutrients. You see, it's attached to the tree, but the tree is attached to the roots which go into the ground. Jesus is explaining to them the same thing that occurs here. He says that you have to be attached to him in order to be able to bear fruit. He also tells us how we are to be associated with him, how we are to be connected with him. Abide in me, and I in you. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and the relationship is so close that it can be said that each of us is abiding or dwelling in the other. In verse 4, he did say, abide in me and I in you. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 that Christ liveth in me. We're going to see here in just a few minutes that that is where the problem comes in. Christ liveth in me. Not the fact that Christ lives in us, but the misapplication that some have as to how Christ lives in us or how the Spirit dwells in us. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. One who would be a skeptic might take this particular passage and say, wait a minute, Paul was not crucified with Christ. No, physically he was not. There were two crucified at the same time that Christ was, and the Bible tells us that they were dying because of their sins. It also tells us that Christ had no sins, yet he still died. But we also know, given the account of Jesus' death upon Calvary's cross, that Paul was not with him. So we must deduce from that that Paul was speaking symbolically or figuratively here. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He was writing to these Galatian brethren. He was telling them those things which they needed to understand. But notice he said, but Christ liveth in me. He also said the life which he now lived in the flesh, he did so by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for us. Without this vital connection, we cannot survive, nor can we function properly. We wonder how that there are those that are striving to function as churches without this vital connection. But what does it actually mean for him to abide in us and for us to abide in him? How can we be in Christ and he in us at the same time? And so it is our hope this evening that a close study of our Lord's illustration will help us understand more fully the benefits, the means, and the alternative to abiding in him and he in us. First, we must understand this one fact. We can abide in him. He does abide in us, or can abide in us, as the Bible purposefully declares it. We've just read it in our text. But I want to point out something to those who are listening. This is not a miraculous thing. It is a thing without hocus pocus. Often when you talk to people and you talk about abiding, the abiding of Christ in us or the abiding of the Spirit, they want to speak some sort of mysterious method by which this is done. They want to think that because they have the Spirit or they have Christ dwelling in them, that they have something that other folks do not have. It is not miraculous. It is without hocus pocus. It is not magic. It is something that we ourselves can affect. It's something that we ourselves can cause to be. We need to understand as we begin to discuss this, and as we continue to discuss this, that we have a choice. We can choose to abide in Christ. We can refuse to let Christ abide in us. And our actions will determine which way it goes. Let's talk for a few minutes about the benefits of this abiding. Now, it's easily understood how one could look at this idea and say, well, Christ abides in us, realizing that Christ is the Son of God. We would want him abiding in us. We would want him connected to us. We would want to be connected to the source of life. We need to understand the benefits of this abiding. One of the benefits is that he continually purges or cleanses us or purifies us, as we see in verses 2 and 3. Every branch that is in me and beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it might bring more fruit. Now ye are clean, which means he cleanses us, he purifies us, and he does so, as we have seen in our text. But how does he do this? He does so by a proper application of his word. Look at verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We might also go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. As we see in yet a much later place in the Bible, this same idea, this general epistle that is entitled 1 Peter, says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now, what this is saying is that ye have obeyed the truth, and as a result, you have your souls purified. But look at the next phrase, through the Spirit. We need to understand that He does so, He purifies us, He cleanses us, and allows us to fully understand what we must do in order to obey through His Word. We see another benefit of this abiding is by walking in the light and confessing our sins. What takes place there? Well, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we'll see this. We'll see the conclusion of it in verse 9. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I grew up associated with a group that believed in confession of sins. However, they misunderstood the good confession. Confession of sins and confession of Christ is two different things. If you'll stop and look at all of the conversions that took place in the book of Acts, every place where we find a confession, it is a confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But here in the latter part of the Bible, we see that we must confess our sins. To whom must we confess our sins? It is not to some governing body of some religious organization. It is not to a man. First and foremost, we must confess our sins to ourselves. We must understand that we have sinned. And then we must also confess them before God. "But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But notice, we were to be walking in the light as He is in the light. Not only will we have fellowship one with another, but we'll also have fellowship with Him. Another benefit of this abiding is the trials of a Christian. Now you can say, "Wait a minute, preacher. I don't understand how these trials are a benefit." Well, it's true. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we'll see he talks about temptations. We'll see he talks about trial. We'll see that these things truly are a blessing. He says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." A lot of people might say, "Well, I don't quite understand this. I don't quite understand this concept. Why is it that trials and tribulations are beneficial?" Well, they're beneficial in that they make us stronger. We must all go through trials and tribulations. We must all be tried while here we are here on this earth. Temptations abound. There's a country song out a few years ago, still I think somewhat popular. It says something to the effect that what does not kill us will make us stronger. That's true. The reason is because we've gone through it before. The first time it's awful scary. We say, "Oh, we can't do that again." But then as we continue to go through it, we continue to persevere, we can continue to be doing these things, we realize that we are getting stronger. The same thing is true of our faith. We needn't let our faith be shaken. Another benefit of abiding is that it gives us the ability to bear fruit. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 speaks of this fruit, just like it did, just like where we read in our text earlier. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." I want you to do something. I want you to find an apple tree. There are plenteous in this part of the world. And I want you to cut a branch off and take it home. it's laid in your garage or the driveway or something like that, where it won't get run over and get destroyed. And I want you to go out about fruit time and see how many apples are on that branch. I can guarantee you there will be none. The reason is because it has been severed from the source. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye bear fruit. Except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. What are the fruits that he's talking about? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, says that we are his workmanship, created unto good works. Notice also that it says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How is it that we do these things? It's because we're connected to the source. We are abiding in him, he in us, through the word. Then we see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, for those of us who have doubt, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But also understand, this is not a one-off. It's an ongoing thing. It's an effort. We have to put forth the effort. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, we see that the Apostle Paul, in writing to these brethren, made sure they understand that. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Friends, not one of us have attained eternal life. We have eternal life in promise, but while we're still here, we are God's workmanship, and we are to produce fruit. That means we are to find those with whom we might share the gospel. Now, I use that term as that's truly what we're doing, because it is given to us to use it. Another benefit is that God answers prayers. Verse 7, as we read in our text, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. We need to understand with big, bold letters that only if the asking is accordance to his will. A few years back, on a job, I had a fellow ask me a question, which I thought was extremely ridiculous. I thought the direct approach was the best way, and it turns out that it was. He walks up to me and he says, I bought a lottery ticket for the big lotto, whatever was going on. Is it okay to pray that I win? I stopped and I said, that's interesting. I think the question you need to ask, is it okay for me to buy the lottery ticket? Why? I said, it's gambling. No, it's not. Why is it not? You are giving something small and expecting something big. And if you look up gambling, you'll see that's exactly what it's talking about. Furthermore, we know that a person cannot express their prayers to God and expect them to be answered unless they worship God and do his will. John 9:31. But he said, if ye abide in me, we're in Christ, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. In other words, if the word abides in us, we're not going to ask selfishly. We're not going to ask foolishly. We're going to ask that God's will be done. It is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, it is God's will that all hear the gospel. And rather than us just sit down and pray that all the people in Mooresville be taught the truth, we should rather go and teach them the truth. In John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we see a very similar statement. This is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Understand this, God knows everything, sees everything, and hears every prayer. But he will only answer those prayers that are asked in accordance to his will and by the authority by which they should be asked. there's also the means of this abiding. We've already touched on it several times. He abides in us as His Word abides in us. Notice in John chapter 15, verses 4, 5, and 7, the substitutions for the my words and I. Abide in me and I in you. He says in verse 4. In verse 5, He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. In verse 7, He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So, He abides in us through the Word. We likewise abide in Him as we abide in His Word. The ASV in John 8:31 says, Jesus therefore said unto those Jews that believed in Him, if ye abide in my Word, then are ye truly my disciples. The King James says, if ye continue in my Word, then ye are my disciples indeed. I have no problem with either one of those renditions there. Because if we continue in His Word, we are indeed abiding in His Word. We can see the application of this in 2 John verses 9 through 11. In this general epistle, we see the admonition to continually abide in Him and in His doctrine, His teaching, His Word, that which He has given us. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Furthermore, it goes on to tell us what to do with those who do not abide. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If we participate with those who are evil toward God, we are evil toward God. We are in fellowship with them. If we are in fellowship with those who are against God, even professing to love God and serve God, then we too are against God. The same is true of the Spirit abiding or dwelling in us, as we see in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. It tells us there, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Notice what it tells us following that. Teaching you and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I want to focus for just a minute on the teaching and admonishing one another. It is to come strictly from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 and 19 tell us very much the same thing, but be filled with the Spirit. Friends, when we are filled with the Spirit, we are filled with the Word of God. Now, He only continues to abide in us if we bear fruit. We must be productive. John chapter 15 and verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth not fruit, He purgeth it, that it bringeth forth, or that it bring forth more fruit. He gives us the ability to bear fruit, but if we do not use that ability, we'll be cut off. We might better understand that as we look at something that we can apply. Use it or lose it. A certain thing that you have learned over the years, or a certain muscle memory technique that you have learned over the years, if you do not use it, you will lose it. We also need to be warned about the alternative to this abiding. We either abide and we bear fruit, or we are not to be His disciples. John 15 verses 1 through 8, as we read, we see in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We need to understand, if we do not bear fruit, we cannot be His disciples. We can either abide and bear fruit, or be cast away and gathered up and burned, as we see in verses 2 and 6. From that, we must understand that a person who once was a faithful member of the Lord's church, who was a fruit producer, can become non-productive. They can be cast forth. Many times this is talking about those who have fallen away. It is possible also to be grafted in again before the burning. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 23, it talks about those being grafted in. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Friends, we need to understand the doors of opportunity are wide. God has provided us with every opportunity to abide in Him and He in us. But we cannot abide in Him unless we're first in Him. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we see that in order for us to be in Christ, we must be baptized into Him. For all of the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27 says, for as many as of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And we will abide in Him and He in us as long as we continue to let His Word abide in us. And as long as we abide in His Word through faithful obedience to it. Otherwise, we will be cast forth as a branch that is fruitless and be lost. But the good news is this can be prevented. How do we prevent this? We prevent this by obeying the gospel. What does it mean to obey the gospel? It means to do those things which we find in His Word, which brings us to salvation. What are these things? In Romans 10, 17, we see the first step is to hear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Secondly, we see that we must believe. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thirdly, we see that we must repent. Luke 13, 3 and 5 says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And following that, we must be willing to confess. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then we see in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, that baptism is also required. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And if you put all of those together in an equation, you'll see hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, equals salvation. But it doesn't stop there. We must be faithful unto death. The latter part of Revelation 2:10 clearly indicates to us that this must be the case. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you are a child of God and have allowed sin to come into your life, you are no longer abiding in Him. You are no longer in fellowship with Him. You are no longer producing fruit. And you must be connected to the source. You must be connected to the vine. You can be reconnected tonight through repentance and prayer. As we find in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. What is the condition of your soul tonight? Are you abiding in Him? Is He abiding in you? Understand that if it's not, you might very well depart this life and spend eternity in condemnation. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the selected song.